Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for your grace today. We bless the holy name, Lord. In every situation, O Father, you are still in the midst of us. You are always with us until the end of the world. We thank you, Lord, for your promise. We thank you, Lord, for everything. So, Father, right now, Lord, as you approach that word once again, we now open our hearts to understand, O Lord. A little nugget of truth here, a little treasure, Father, that we can look at and be blessed, Father, and be a strength in our life, Father. Lord, we ask for your blessing now then. Bless us, Father, as you approach that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go where we were left off last week to Amos 3:7. Amos 3:7-8. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Now, I concluded last week regarding this verse 7, how that many in the message have not really comprehend this verse. They take this verse because Brother Bram quote it often, and they take it without understanding what this verse actually implies, what it means. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophet. Now, there are things that we need to understand about this verse is that concerning the plan of God, concerning certain hidden mystery that God wants to reveal, or certain secret that is within God himself, that he will reveal it first to the prophet, and the prophet will then present it to the children of Israel. That's what it means. The children of Israel would not know the plan of God. And if you look in the Old Testament, you can see how God used the prophet and bring out certain secrets to them. But the thing is that in the end time message, the people have taken this verse to say that as if to imply that everything the brother Branham said to be a revelation. And they do not understand what many times that brother Branham have his opinion to try to get across to people. Some of the truth that he understands, or some of the truth that he has understood. And we know many times also because Brother Branham in the early days being among denominational preacher, organization, and many times he says certain things that were just in the back of his head. And then you realize later on, you know, how that as time goes on, revelation being progressive will be revealed to him. But there are a lot of things that Brother Branham did not teach. There are many things in the Bible that he had not taught. So then we realize one thing. When this verse is used here, we talk about the secrets. And we know that when God sent the prophet, he revealed, God through the prophet revealed to us our generation, the church age, the mystery of the seven stars, and some of these things. You know. So when we look at this verse, don't take it and always every time like many said, oh, the Lord will reveal nothing but he will do nothing but he reveals secret to his prophet, and on the Abraham was a prophet, and therefore everything Abraham said, and now is the secret of God revealed. That is not really true. Alright? So now go to the next verse we have here. The lion have roared, who will not fear? The Lord have spoken, who can but prophesy? The Lord have spoken. Therefore, if God have spoken, then the minister of God would have to prophesy. Or there is to preach, so it's to say. In the Old Testament, of course, as we know, we're reading this, it deals, God deals only through the prophets. There's no apostles, there's no evangelists. There is shepherds or pastors, and there are teachers of their truth. You know. So in the New Testament, the Lord had two more of the fivefold ministry. You find the Old Testament, you had a prophet, you had a shepherd or the pastor, and the teachers. But in the New Testament, God added two more. You know, and what he added on was the apostles, and then come the prophet. And then he added the evangelists because they are bringing the evangel on, it means to bring forth the gospel to the world. So now when we look at this here, the lion have roared, who will but fear? Now, let me ask you this question here. We are living in the grace age. And I said this again. The Christian or the church of God, they are a type of Israel. We call the spiritual Israel. Natural Israel, Israel herself. So now in the church age, we realize that there are four beasts out there in the book of Revelation. And I hope that you still remember the four beasts. The first is the lion. Now, we realize that here we have, in the Old Testament, as Amos said, the lion have roared, who will not fear? The Lord have spoken, who can but prophesy? And that is true. The church began with Christ coming to get a people. And he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, fulfilling the word of God. So when he came preaching, what was he doing? He was roaring forth as a lion. And so the word that he has spoken, later on the apostle took those words and they prophesied, they preached. But you know that when Jesus was on the earth in his lifetime, on the earth, for 3.5 years he preached, he didn't preach everything. Alright, he didn't preach everything that because he told the disciple, there are many things I want to tell you, you cannot understand now. You're not able to absorb. But when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you and lead you into all truth. And that is true if Christ, when he was on earth, being the prophet of prophets, and he didn't know everything, he didn't preach everything, how could then a man of God, William Marion Branham, the Branhamite claims that he preached everything, he knows everything. That's a damnable lie. And that's why we have a lot of confusion, people are locked up in the veil of tradition. So we're now still talking about the veil. What kind of veil do you have on you? The veil of tradition? Here we have this word, clearly said, the lion have roar, who will not fear? Christ as a lion, he brought forth the word of God. And the apostle continued down the corridors of time. And the church started with the lion. Yes, and the church didn't even begin with the lion. Prophesying, roaring out the truth. But not long after that, as we know, the next church has come, we have the ox in the book of Revelation. And when Christians started to fall into the deception of deceivers, deceiving men, preachers, so-called, who make themselves a claim to be an ordained minister of God, and start to manipulate what they think is the truth. They preach things that they think is true, but it's not. And that's why we have that Nicolaitan spirit that came in. It was a spirit, and later on became a doctrine. And then, of course, by the time the seven churches came, and many Christians were taken to the slaughter, so to speak, under the Roman Catholic Church. And then after that, because of the veil, of course, they blinded the people. But those that are willing to die for it, those who have the veil of God in the word, they are willing to be martyred. And that's why when the Colosseum came in, they put to death millions and millions of those who are Christian, and even those who are not Christian who not bow down to that system. And the next beast we know, of course, is the beast of man. And the man's face, and then was when God began to restore back his word in the Reformation. A little of the word of God, a little by little. Not very much. And we have men like Luther. Most of them brought back was to bring the justification doctrine back. Because under that Antichrist system, people were doing all those traditional approach to God. Doing penance, going to the mass, say Hail Mary. And you know, going to the mass is that you have to pay. Or go to the confession box. Go to the confession box to confess to a priest. And you and I know that the priesthood system of the Old Testament has been done away with. We know the Old Testament system. God has set forth the priesthood, the lived up priesthood. And they are the one that mediator between the children of Israel and God. And Aaron the high priest had to take the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and enter into the most holy place once a year for the atonement of the people. But Christ being the high priest already had fulfilled. And that's why when he died upon the cross, he cried with a loud voice as a lion roar. It is finished. And the veil was torn apart. And the way to God is opened up widely. And everyone can just approach the throne of God through that mediator, the high priest, Jesus Christ. So today, for anyone to approach a priest in any system, be it the Catholic system, be it the Protestant system, any, as if they could mediate it between you and God, that's a lie. That's a veil that covers, you know, many religious people today. Going to a priest, confessing the sin, going to a priest to conduct some kind of a mediation between them and God. We have but one mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, as Paul said, and that man is Christ Jesus. Amen. And now after that, of course, the Reformation goes on until John Wesley came along with sanctification. That's not enough. God wants to reveal more. And finally, God sent a prophet. And that prophet came with a simple message. Please, understand this. The message of God, there's only one message in every age, not messages. And the simple message of, that God has given through the prophet Brother Branham in the Southern Church age is to come out of the system, come out of tradition, come out of the bondage that you are caught in, come out from your blindness. Because in any tradition, in any the system, the creeds, the dogma, all this are darkness. You can't see the light. It's just following something that has been handed down. You follow the way that the system taught you, the religious ism teaches you. Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are three persons in the Godhead. Pray to this saint, that saint, and things like that. Creating some kind of a fear that you have to approach and believe certain things or else your souls be damned. You know, one thing for sure, when we are Christ, we are in Christ, we are set free. That's 100% true. Is it not right? When we are in Christ, we are set free. But the thing is this, many people claim to be in Christ, but they are still not free because they are trapped in tradition. They have a veil upon their heart, as it was in the days of the Old Testament. The children of Israel. You understand? So the message is to come out of her, come out to meet the bridegroom, come out to the Word. Come into the Word of God, and that's what we are looking at. Amen. So now, let us go on. I want to say this last week, what I said last week, in case that some of you misunderstood. I was saying that nakedness is not obscene. Physical nakedness is not obscene as far as God is concerned. Yes, if you see a man out there and a woman out there, maybe walking on the street naked, we say, of course, that's obscene. So, they should cover up. That's obscenity. Yeah. So, it is repulsive, disgusting to look at. That is true. That is physical nakedness. But to God, it is not these things. To God, what is obscene? Most of all, God deals with us through the Word. So, the word obscene, let me just let you know how the dictionary defines. Obscene means depraved, abominable, repulsive, disgusting. So, when anyone takes the Word of God and fornicates it with man-made doctrine, that is obscene in the eyes of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you, to get people to understand it. Religious people, they approach God in their own way. Through an idol. Through some sort of a saint that died. Praying to the saint. That's obscene before God. Do you understand that? That's obscenity. In the eyes of God. Because the word of God, which is light, is they mixed with darkness, mixed with tradition, which is darkness. So light and darkness cannot mix. When light comes, darkness must flee. If the light is not there, darkness comes in. So how can you mix light with darkness? It's obscene. You know, I realized one thing in When I was in America, when the American brother and sister were at a restaurant drinking coffee, most of the time I see everyone drink coffee black coffee, what we call kopi o. Right, just what we call it, coffee black, that's what it is. So when we, here we have in our Asian country, we coffee with milk. I mean, you know, they kind of look strange. Some people, some Americans look at us, why we drink that? You want to drink milk? Drink milk. Want to drink coffee? Drink coffee. So to have white and black mixed together, perhaps we can say it's obscene. So that is the sense of it. You mix things together which is not supposed to mix in a certain way. And I know that some food, you don't mix certain food because it doesn't match. You know. Especially like the Japanese, how they eat, when you do something different from the way they look at it, they say, ah, that's terrible. So it's the same with the Word of God. We take the Word of God the way it should be taken, and not the way that we want to take it, according to our whims and fancy. Alright? Now let's go to the book of Exodus 32:25. Exodus 32. And just to Exodus 32:25. So to let you understand here what of sin is. Now, in this chapter of Exodus 32. Now, verse 25, it says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. So you know this story here, right? So if we were to read this verse by itself, we're thinking that the people were actually physically naked. Were they? No. What happened when Moses was up in Mount Sinai? What happened below the mountain? At the foot of the mountain, what happened? The children of Israel were telling Aaron, said, we do not know what happened to Moses up there. He's been there so long, make us gods, right? And Aaron, well, you know, he was pressured, I would say, sometime. You can say that Aaron has had no backbone. And it is true, sometimes, you know, many ministers, they don't have backbone. They want to please the congregation. Again, has been said, some saying this, preach hard during your Sunday service. Preach hard. Preach it. As to make the church empty. Or preach it softly, nicely, as to fill the church. You get what I'm saying? Preach the truth hard, and people will leave the church. And you get an empty church, practically. Or you preach it to the satisfaction of the people, to please the people, then you will fill the pew. You know. So that is true. Let's not just go for a preacher. If you are a believer, you go to a church and you want to have truth, and you find that you go to a church and it's, oh, that's a whole big congregation. And you hear the message preached. What do you have? Preacher are just preaching something to pet the people, to make everybody happy. And if you are a true believer, you know that, what would you do? You get out. Come out of her. You see, true believer is, well, we can say, hardcore believers who wants the truth, who are not compromised. That's why the day when I heard, when I realized, I found that God have a message for me through the prophet, though I know him, but not knowing that he had a message. And the day when I read just one statement and found out, oh my, God opened my eyes to the simplicity of it, and I left the church. I cannot stay in it. Just the doctrine of the Godhead it caused me to see the light, and I cannot go back to darkness anymore. You know, it's as simple as that. So here, when we talk about nakedness, I don't care about the sinner out there in the world. They do anything they like, they go to the beach and wear the woman in bikinis, and some countries in Europe, I was told that there are beaches that are open to nudity, and they have what, nudity colony or camps or something like that. People walk around naked. Well, that's the way of life. That's the world. You know, God loved the sinner, but He loved the sinner to come out, and that's why He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that they may see the truth and come out of this obscenity, physical obscenity, and the sin, to come back, come to the Word. So when we Christians are believers of the Word of God, let us come back to the Word. And that's why God dealt with the children of Israel. And what was done at the foot of Mount Sinai, in the eyes of God, as the Bible here says, when Moses saw that the people were naked, wow, they fall into worshipping a golden calf. You know Yahweh, and now you're worshipping a golden calf and said, this is Yahweh that brought you out, as Aaron said, that this is the Elohim that brought you out of Egypt. Really? How come they are so blind? You see, the Israel have been in Egypt for so many years. A few hundred years they were there. And then what? They saw the miracles of God under the leadership of Moses. Yet, they can go back to obscenity. Now think about it. And you ever wonder, when you read the book of Revelation, you know what happened in the future when Jesus Christ comes to reign for 1,000 years? And the Bible said there will be peace, and the knowledge of the world, the Word of God covers the whole world. Right? And yet, at the end of 1,000 years, when Satan and demons are let loose, what does the Bible tell us? That there are many who will gang up together and fight against Christ and the camps of God. Why? For 1,000 years, think about it. They live in peace and prosperity, and yet they will rebel. And that's the thing about what God is doing in our life. The secret of God revealed to us. God is still unfolding revelation of His Word. Now, that's the Old Testament tells us what this is, spiritual nakedness. Now, what about the book of New Testament? You go to the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 17. There you see something. We all know this. And that is the Laodicean church age. Oh, what does the Laodicean church age say? To the angel of the church of Laodicea. That's right. When it's true, the church is rich. Huh? They have gold, they have everything. But God said, but Jesus said, but you are naked. Huh? And you don't even know it. That's nakedness. What is nakedness? Look at the churches today. Many of them out there. Thousands of people. Charismatic church, especially Pentecostal church. The people shouting charm, you know. Millions of dollars in the coffer. They're so corrupt fiscally. They don't even know that they're corrupt fiscally, and yet they can worship the Lord and all the tradition, and they are corrupt spiritually. They are obscene before the Lord. They were naked. They are naked and don't even know it. Think, isn't it? They're naked, they don't even know it. Because they're not clothed with the garment of God's word. That's it. You know. Let me say something else. Now with this COVID issue, I think that many of you probably have, but unless you know you're one who go to internet or maybe Facebook or YouTube, whatever, you or somebody might have sent you. Go to the verse of Isaiah 26:20. A very common verse that has been used because of this pandemic. Isaiah 26:20. Now this is a song actually. And listen to how the song is written here. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber and shut thy doors above thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpass. For behold, the Lord come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now these are the prophecy for the future of how God dealt with Israel. But many have taken this verse, of course, or this passage more or less, and applied to the pandemic. And that the pandemic was God's indignation, his wrath, to punish the world. And then the next verse 21 says, you know, some of them have taken this verse, they see that the earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no more cover their slain, because you can see a lot of those who died on the street is exposed. Okay? Alright. But one of the interesting things is that what God ever prophesied for Israel, we can look at it spiritually to understand something here. Look at this here. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter down into thy chambers and shut the door. That means don't go out. Like what? Then come, lock down. Country locked now, so stay home. Right? And of course, there are some people that literally don't go out. You know that. Okay? Everything is ordered online. And when the deliverer locked the door, please, just hang it there on the door. They don't even want to touch it. And perhaps they spray the whole plastic bag with some disinfectant before. So, there's a lot of fear in this. And they're taking this verse, yeah. Okay? Lock yourself in the house and go out. Now, if you look at this, is it what it says here? I want to show you something here. Our Bible translation, or the various versions of the Bible, especially King James, of course King James, the way they translate it, they're using word for word, but many times there's no consistency in using the same word. The word chamber here, into thy chamber, the word chambers here. What is chamber? It's a room. When you look at it, you say it's a room. Am I alright? But this is not just a chamber. In actual fact, it means that if you look into your concordant for this verse, this word, chamber, other places of the King James were translated as the innermost chamber. Alright? Or secret chamber. Or secret place. And the Hebrew word actually says is a primary space or primary chamber. A private chamber. Innermost secret place. What is it? So for us, as I said this, with all this pandemic that's out there, there shouldn't be fear in our life as believers. If we come and enter into God's inner chamber, God's secret place, God's hiding place. And what is it? What is God's hiding place? What is God's inner chamber for you to come in? Where is it? The Word of God itself. Come unto me. Every time. What is the song that we sung? My deliverer. You know the song that deliver protection. And then the shield. The Lord is my shield. Yes. Hallelujah. Right? The song we sang? He's my shield. He's my deliverer. And he's my protector. Jesus said, come unto me. There is no hiding place that is safe for you and me, except in our Lord. Christ the Word. That's our hiding place. That is our secure place, the private place. That's why I said, in any time, you know, there's no protection. You cannot protect. So I'm a Christian. And you just say, I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus Christ. But you don't draw yourself into Christ. What then? Is that what I'm saying? You know? So you really want a true protection. As he said here, come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Remember the children of Israel when they were out in Egypt? Before, the night before they depart, what happened? What was the word of God to Moses to them? Take the lamb, slay the lamb, take the blood, apply it on the doorpost and the lintel, right? Don't let anyone come out. Shut yourself in. Until the indignation of God, until the death angel pass over you. When there is no blood, you're not under the blood, he will come in. Under the blood is salvation. Under the blood is salvation. But after you have salvation, one end. The token, which is the Holy Spirit, that is given to you. They guide you into all truth, guide you into the inner chamber. Not say, oh, I'm so happy, I'm under the blood, I'm a child of God. Good for you. And you can claim like this all the time, but you don't get to have a relationship with God. You don't get close to God. He's far away. Only when you want to get near to Him is only when you are in trouble. Oh, Lord, save me, I have a problem. Is that what it is? You only call upon God because when you are in time of need. But when there's no, when you don't have any need and everything is fine, then you're far away from God. As the Bible said, they worship me with their mouths and their lips and so on and so forth, but their heart is far from me. What then is our relationship with God? So let us get into the inner chamber of God. Let us get to understand more of that word of God. Amen. Alright. Revelation 10:7. Alright, we know that why we read, just to get this mystery of the Son of God. Just read the verse as well. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophet. Again, I want to emphasize this. The Word is our veil. The Word of God is our veil. Do you understand what I'm saying? As long as the veil of God is upon you, you will see the light. The moment the veil is lifted up, you see darkness. That's what happened in the garden. When sin came upon those, when the couple committed the sin, the veil of God left them. They couldn't see the light of God anymore. They saw darkness. They saw obscenity. Do you see that? So, here we have, when he began to sound the mystery of God, and don't put the word plural, And I said many times, and I share many times with those who are quoting Brother Branham and so on and so forth. They said, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham used the word mysteries, mysteries, mysteries of God, mysteries of God. We finished. The mysteries of God should be finished. You know, and Brother Branham was trying to emphasize something. And many people just take it for granted, whatever he said, is thus saith the Lord. And therefore the mystery of God become mysteries of God, and there are many that come up with their own ideas. As I said, one minister, I believe he was from Germany, he came to Singapore before, and you know, he talked with me and he told me that the seven thunders are seven mysteries of God that God revealed through Brother Branham. I said, okay, what are those? He said, one of them is the token, two is the marriage and divorce. I said, okay, what else? And I can remember now, I think it's a Godhead, but it comes to about three or four, and then the rest, he doesn't know. You see, there are people that will just try to present something that is not true. So when we talk about the mystery of God, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, 1. Anyway, let's go to then look at it. Recap is good for you. And don't say, oh, Brother God, I heard that again. I heard that before. Yeah, we'll hear it many, many times. So, also the Bible, you read it many places, there are many times, many things are emphasized again and again and again. Alright, chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. For this cause I Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now, for you Gentiles, not for the believers, huh? That are Jews and Gentiles, just Gentiles alone. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would how that by revelation he make known unto me the mystery, not mysteries, the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So the mystery of God, alright, and some people say the mystery of God is the mystery of God in Jesus Christ. That is not what it is. Alright, or as many say, quoting what Brother Abraham said, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Try to imply that. And that's really terrible exegesis. But this is not what the Bible said. Anyway, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophet by the Spirit. Now, this is what Paul said. Alright, but who cares about Paul? I'd rather he listen to what Brother Branham said. It seemed to me many believers are talking like this. When he said, let us look into the word of the Lord. No, but I know what Brother Abraham said, and they refuse to read into the scripture. And that's where the problem is, when you have the veil of Abrahamism over you. Any veil of any ism that covers you, even your own ideology, your own ism, your own thinking that is not based upon the word of God, you are in trouble. The brother says, so why am I teaching all this to you? Sometimes I wonder, why am I teaching all this to you? It is because of the importance of this word of God. When the Bible said in the book of Revelation, the wife had made herself ready. Are we getting ready? Are we making ourselves ready? Or are we just listening to the prophet, read the prophet's book, Because the prophet said, doctrine in faith lies in the messages. And they took it literally, like in the messages. So read all the messages, almost 2,000 of them on tapes. So you're going to read all that, listen to all that, you think you're going to make the rapture? If you are not hid in this world, if you don't enter into this innermost chamber, the secret place, the private place, as it is in the Hebrew word, the private, shut in with God, in the secret place, and there you behold His face. Not the face of William Branham, not the face of the Pope, or the Virgin Mary, or your pastor, or whoever it may be. And you can't, you want to behold the face of Christ? What kind of face is the face of Christ? The Hoffman head painting? Is that what it is? Is that Christ? And there are people that have this painting of Hoffman's head. And look at them, and perhaps in their worship of Christ, their mind, the image that they have of Christ is that painting. No. You want to behold the face of Christ, you have to know the Word. And when you know more about the Word of God, when you behold His face, it's not a literal face. You know what is the face? When I say, I look at you, I look at your face, literally, physically. But when I look at you, I look at you about the spirit, the person that you are. So when we are beholding His face, we're not looking at the face, literally. How do you look at a face? We have not seen Christ Jesus. Physically, we have not seen Him. So you're the same spiritually. Not an image of Homan's painting. Not at all. Or try to imagine that Christ looked like this and this as you worship Him. Are you following me? Let the Word of God be your veil. Shut in there. Veil in the Word of God. You can see the light there. Just when I was young, you know, curiosity, you know, so looking at all that light and all the special light, what we call that, the glowing thing, what it, you shine lights on it and then you absorb light and you go to switch off all the light, the room it glows, you know, luminous paint or whatever that is. You go under the blanket, hey, you're stuffed and you can see the glow. It's just like that. You shut into the Word of God, you can see. Veiled by the Word of God. Not veiled by tradition. So here, Paul is talking about, here, verse 5. You look at what Paul said. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now. Paul is talking about the present from his time. Because he is sent by God to the Gentiles. When the Jew rejected the gospel that he preached, they want to keep continuing with the law, the tradition, the keeping of festivals, you know. But here we have Paul saying this. It is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Holy apostles first. He didn't say apostles and prophets. He didn't say prophets and then apostles. You know, a lot of people don't understand the mystery of the ministry of Brother Branham. He has nothing to do with the fivefold ministry. He being a star messenger, and he had a message, an important message. Only the star can deliver, and that is to call out the bride into the word of God. And God has vindicated him so that the world can see by the miracles that God has given him, I mean the gift that God has given him to be vindicated by what God can have performed. That's about it. So here now, let's read, continue. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body a partaker of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of the power. Now, what was that Paul said, you know, in verse 1, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me in the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. What was that few words? Let's go to chapter 2 above, and you'll find verse, let's go through to, okay, verse 17, to the end of it, verse 17. And came to preach peace to you which was afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father now. Therefore, you are no more stranger and foreigner, but fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly fit together grow unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for habitation of God through or in the Spirit. So what Paul is saying then is that the Gentiles has been grafted into the commonwealth of God. Do you understand what it is now? You understand what it says here? Fellow, verse 10, fellow citizen with the saint of the household of God. The Gentile now is part of this whole household. Okay? Alright, let's go to Romans chapter 11 and look at it. Alright, Romans chapter 11. So now we're not going to read all of this. But chapter 11, let's see where I can find. Chapter 11, verse 11. I said this then, how they stumble that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall, that is the fall of Israel, salvation is now come unto the Gentile. For to provoke the Jew to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of Gentile, how much more of their fullness? Then let us go over to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of these mysteries. I mean this mystery, not pronounced as mysteries, but it is mystery, okay? Of this mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, the blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Alright. So you understand this, that what Paul is saying is that God blind the Gentile and blind the Jew because of the fall, because of rebellion not to accept the gospel. So God sent Paul to the Gentile so that he could bring the Gentile to the same household. Because you must understand there is only one household of God. Right? There is only one household of God. There is no Jew, no Gentile. They are all children of the living God. Alright then, let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 26 to 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, or Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They eat, they drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the day of Lot. They eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even such it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, this passage of scripture here in the denomination, they have They said that this was in the tribulation. You understand what I'm saying? They said that it was, you know, approaching coming day of the revelation of the tribulation. But here we understand it is not. All right, because you see here we have what Luke wrote regarding a day that is similar to the days of Noah, a day that is similar to the days of Lot. People are just going about their own business, planting, harvesting, marrying, have children, and so on and so forth, to build and so on. But they are too busy, of course. But you know, this is the world today. People are about their own thing. And it is such a time as this that verse 30 come to fulfillment. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The Son of Man is a prophetic revelation of God revealing to the world, of God's word revealed through a prophet. So the Son of Man is revealed. Who is the Son of Man? It's always Christ. Not Brother Branham. But the Son of Man just is revealed through the prophet. Because he, Christ, is the prophet of prophets. I want you to look at it very carefully now. When the Son of Man is revealed, the word revealed here in the Greek is apokalypto. The apocalypse, that is to say. The apocalypse, people say the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Oh, they're always talking about the book of Revelation. The revealing. Apocalypse means the revealing. Yes, when Christ comes, it's the kind of revealing, but not the revealing as this verse is on the same. Because the word here says apocalypse, which means Christ revealing himself and not the epiphania. That's a lot different. The word of God is apocalyptic to me. It means it's revealing to me. You understand? But denomination has always interpreted, or theology interpreted, as to Christ appearing in the air or in the sky, in the heaven. No. It is not, as Luke here wrote, he didn't say it is revealed, or the word revealed is to say in Greek as epiphania. It is not. Epiphania is when Christ personally appears. Alright. Okay. So what we understand is that in the Old Testament, there are so many sons of men, right? The prophets are called sons of men. Who are they revealing? Who were they speaking of? They were speaking of Christ. They were speaking of the Messiah. They were pointing to the Messiah. And so the same with the New Testament. Brother Ben came to point to Christ. Nothing else. All right. Okay. Let me just continue and look at the time. And let's say 5 more minutes, I guess. We just want to close. You know, then you know the religious world are so blind. It's because I think human beings are like this. There is an emptiness in their heart. Life is not, they know, many of them know that it's not just eating and drinking and working and have a family and then grow old and then die. And people, therefore, they are searching for some meaning of life. So, well, some people went to the wrong place of what meaning of life is to them. Get more money, have a big house, a big career, big family, enjoy life. They want to fill their emptiness in their life with this. But there are those that went out searching. And what is a search? You know, I was talking to my masseur last Thursday. Now, she is a Buddhist. There are many kinds of Buddhists. And I asked her, I said, about food. She was saying that, no, she cannot eat certain kind of food, though she is a vegetarian. You know, I said, what about onion? She said, no, cannot eat onion. And what she also said, I can't even eat garlic. I said, why? I thought you Buddhist. She said, no, different kind of Buddhists. And they are just onion Buddhists, but those who are the pure Buddhist kind, you know, cannot eat certain vegetable even. I said, why? Because he said they are addictive. Addictive. So onion is addictive and garlic is addictive. I said, what happened if they take that? He says, no, it corrupts the mind. The mind will not be pure. And that's a belief. So you see, there are religions, as many people said, they are man-made. And I agree with you, they are man-made. Yeah? And they will say, even Christianity is man-made. I say, I agree with you. But that man is Christ Jesus and he's not an ordinary man. Of course, but to them, he's an ordinary man. Huh? Isn't it? You see? So, that's the understanding. I don't blame them because, you know, Satan has corrupted the mind. Satan has blinded the people to what faith is, to who they are and the purpose of being on this earth. They can't even recognize that this whole universe need a creator to bring it into existence. But no, they all just come by natural means, evolution and such like. And I always wonder how foolish they are. Just by looking at the beautiful thing that is out there, the thing that is remarkable, the creation. And you tell me that there is no God? But of course, as I said, when people look for religion, they're trying to find meaning of life. And many of them, they went to the wrong place. And that is true. I can only think of many of us out here come from background, family being perhaps just some form of Chinese religion, Buddhism or Taoism or whatever. And some are just like, perhaps I will say about Sister Joyce when I first knew her. Well, there's all the superstition. Yes, and many of us, I was young when I was superstitious too. I remember telling you this when I was a primary school student. When we get new shoe, those shoe that is white, eh? You remember rubber shoe? And we were told, superstition or not, you have to bite the front of the shoe and the back of the shoe, the toe end and the heel end. If you don't, it bites you. And I don't know, somehow it seemed to be true, because when I got a new shoe, I didn't bite it and it bites me. And but when I get another pair of new shoe, I bite it, it didn't bite me. Ain't kind of strange. Perhaps it's a coincidence, but we don't think of it. But we were told, do that, we did. Isn't it true? Huh? Now some of you maybe not from a, you don't associate with people who are superstitious, you don't have this influence. Right? Now in the West, they have their own superstitions. Superstition. You walk down a path, you cannot walk under a ladder. And a black cat cross your path, you better don't walk past it. You cross the path, you got to turn around 180 degrees and walk backwards. It bring you bad luck. Every country, every place, they have their own superstition. Some of us have superstition, some more, some less. Oh, not good. You ever heard people say that? Now, how many of you have done that? Huh? Out there. more or less sometimes we are supposed to say in a certain way. We don't know it. Some more, some less. That's true. Yes, I remember Sister Joyce when I one time said that. She put up her hand, yeah, I'm supposed to. That's honest to say yes. We know when we look at our past life, the thing that we do, our superstitions, our religious being, and our, you know, we are all veiled by darkness. We are veiled by tradition, veiled by all that things, because Satan has many veils to cover you with. And we are trapped. But if it wasn't for the love of God, if it wasn't for God calling you, you won't be here today. We don't know who we are. As I said, many times I look at, when I was worshiping God, just praying, meditating, and I just say, oh my, I'm chosen by God. No, I didn't choose God. You know? And that's not why we can all remember to say this. We didn't choose God. Don't say, I choose Jesus Christ. I found Him. No, He found you. He found me. He put barriers before us. He put certain things before us till we see Him. Because He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. And if you have chosen us before the foundation of the world, He will surely perfect you and me. He will surely bring you back to this world, and He will. Even if He has to chastise you, like He did with Israel. You know, bring you to this place of His word. And He wants you to have a relationship with Him. May the Lord bless you. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, again. Bless the Holy Word, Lord. Take it further. Take it further, Lord, in to each and every one of us, Father, in our time. When we spend a little hour of prayer, a little time of reading the Word of God, and just to meditate, consider who we are. Yes, Lord. Who I am in our relationship with You. We thank You truly, Father, for Your great love for us. For Thou art truly worthy of praise, Father. Bless Thy word then, O Lord. Bless Thy word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.